Thank you, honourable members. We're going to start. It's 10 o'clock. Welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Police. Honourable members, we're today continuing our hearing in terms of the referral of the Speaker and the order of the Gauteng High Court with regard to the renewal, non-renewal of the contract of the Executive Director of IPET. Now, members, I'm going to just put on record what we did yesterday, what we decided, what should be done today in terms of our deliberations. Members will remember that we have discussed yesterday the process with regard to the submission of the Minister, also the submission of the Executive Director. We also discussed yesterday the appointment letter, the performance agreement, the performance assessments. The one item that is outstanding on page 1 is the AG reports and the AG notes. We received this morning the AG notes. So Mr. Lobby is just busy making copies of those. So we, as soon as we get those, we will deal with the AG reports and the AG notes. Again, to remind members, remember last week in the submission of Corruption Watch by Mr. Lewis, he indicated that the committee should look widely at all possible sources and documents when we assess this request from the Speaker in the High Court. So we're not only looking at the submission of the Minister and the ED, we're looking at reports of independent institutions, we look at committee reports, we look at a whole host of issues to come to a decision that is in line with the Constitution and of course the rules. Then committee reports, we also dealt with that. Then the briefing notes, briefings to committees. I don't know, we dealt with that, briefings to committees. Yeah. Then the IPET Amendment Act, we dealt with that. We also dealt with the applications for the SAPS posts. We dealt with the security clearance matter. The PSC letter regarding the investigation with regard to the Deputy Director of Vetting, we will deal with this morning. The issue of executive authority, accounting officer governance framework, we didn't get any feedback from the two institutions, but of course members raised it right through when we started the deliberations. The issue of trust relationship also came up very strongly, and I think it will be part of our discussions going forward. Then the issue of the public protector investigation, that's referred to in the minister's papers as well as that of Mr. McBride. Then the issue of a fit and proper person, the independence of IPET, and in the current political context that's raised in Mr. McBride's papers, and also I think Mr. Mbele raised also that issue yesterday. So colleagues, that is more or less the broad issues that we must still look at. We will also ask the legal section of Parliament to address us on the two court cases, just to give us context in terms of their decisions, in terms of independent institutions. Those copies of the court cases were made available to members over the weekend and I think during the course of the week. So members, that is the broad program. Then in terms of the decisions of yesterday, and I've also asked that the Secretariat must give copies to members that we're on the same page. There's been a letter that has been directed to the Director General of the State Security Service, Mr. Yafta, with regard to the issue of the security clearance that came up yesterday. Mr. McBride's security clearance lapsed, I think in, was it October last year? No, I'm coming to that, Honourable Member. We're doing it, you know, it's like eating elephant, bit by bit, so I'll come to that. We have written to the DG to say, well, what is the status? Because remember, in terms of the application the SAPS post to the DPCI, we heard yesterday that there is currently not a valid security clearance in place. So we just want to know what is the status, what is the process. So that letter went off yesterday. Then there's also the issue that was raised regarding the status of letters of Mr. Nakabinde. With regard to his complaints, members will remember that the ED indicated in his papers that Mr. Nakabinde has withdrawn all these allegations. But there was subsequently also a letter to the Portfolio Committee where he again asked for an update on the complaints he lodged to us, and also it's very similar issues. So the decision of the committee was yesterday that we need to get his view. What did he withdraw it? Does he stand with that information? Or what is the situation? That we can just get that out of the way and deal with that matter. We also made a decision yesterday that the Secretariat must write to the ED, Mr. McBride, because one of the issues we're going to deal with this morning is the issue of the public service report. The Public Service Commission made a finding, and we just want to know, you know, what is his view on it. So I hope the Secretariat has followed my instruction and written to Mr. McBride. So if we can just have confirmation on that from the Secretariat so that Mr. McBride can respond by the end of business today. So I just want to put that on record. Then yesterday, some of the members raised the issue, I think at the beginning, about the sequence of correspondence between the ED and the Minister with regard to the renewal. So there was now indication, do we've got the complete set, yes or no? So I think the legal section was asked to give us copies because I think it's in the court papers. Is the copies available, Secretariat, or did the members, I just want to get an indication, Secretariat, but I was not here. No, it's not that letter. Remember at the beginning, I didn't make notes, but I remember that. There was three members who spoke on that issue about the sequence of the letters. So I said, we need the complete set of letters that was made available to the relevant parties. Okay. Yeah, we've received, it's the letter of the 5th of September. Did you distribute this to the members this morning? Okay. So we'll deal with that first. Just to deal with that issue, because members raised it. Then, as you've indicated, the second issue that Honourable Mbele raised for further written submissions, we will also discuss that matter under the heading current political context, and then we'll make a decision on that. So members, that is more or less, I think, all the household matters from yesterday. Unless I left something out, Secretariat, you must please raise. Members, is there anything that we left out? Right, thank you very much. So members, let's then go to the, and we'll again apply the 7-minute rule per member, per item, to ensure that we make good progress. If you don't want to utilize your full 7 minutes, of course you're welcome not to use it, but the 7 minutes is available to members. Now this matter, I think yesterday, the members, I don't know, members got copies of the two letters. Okay, right members? That is the letters that were sent to the Minister of Police last year by the ED in terms of the relevant process, the renewal and non-renewal. I just want to make sure every member's got a copy. I just have confirmation because I don't want to proceed with any item where members haven't had perused it and are okay with the issues. Right, members, 7 minutes. Can we, any person on this issue? Honorable Ramatakane.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. I was battling to, we start with the two letters, the letter. No, Chair, in my position here, like other members, I have a letter of the 5th September, and the other one is dated 13 November. These are the letters from the Executive Director to the Minister. It appears at the face of the letter, when one reads it, is that the ED was clearly aware that the contract was coming to an end. In fact, he, in some instances, he knew how many months were left. In the letter of September, I think he alluded to the fact that his contract expiry is left with 5 months before it expires. And what he wanted to know is what is going to be, whether the minister is going to extend the contract which is expiring. So all along, my reading of this letter, Chair, is that there is no confusion, nor was there any, some implied rights for extension. Well, I leave that letter. The one I see is quite important. It's a recent letter. The recent letter of the 13th of November, which make reference to the previous letter of September 6th. But for me, the key last 2, 3, and 4 paragraphs that is stated there, it's again referring to the fact that I know my contract is expiring, so whatever position is taken, I need to be to know so I can make my other arrangement. But the fatal one is the 4. The 4 says, in all of this, taking into account, it is thus recommended that the process of advertising the post and the selection of the suitable candidate commence at the earliest opportunity. That's the quoting the letter. So, and then kindly revert to me at your earliest convenience. Well, this letter, I think, settled the discussion with respect to the contract. And it settled in our mind. Now, I don't know now if I stretch this. If I look into the document, the minister's letter seems to be a direct reaction from both these letters. In particular, the last letter, he responded to say this is what my intention is. So, Chair, I want to say in my last, I know I still have a lot of time, I'm saving it now for something else. On these two letters, at the face of these two letters and the conclusion of it, Mr. McBride, he is aware of what the situation is about. There's no confusion in his mind about this letter, as the contract was for 5 years. And in fact, he was proactive. He says, let's get the show on the road. Let's advertise this post. Let's interview, shortlisting, start, commence, and a suitable candidate. He's not saying I. He says a suitable candidate will come out of the process, can then be interview and then commence at the earliest. So I think for me, that's my take on the letter, Chair, that it's clear that this matter, it's like finished, it's flat. Thank you.
Thank you. I will take Honorable Imam Sheikh, then Honorable Mullah.
Thank you, Chair. This is like a final nail in the coffin. But let me reiterate a very important point, Your Chairman. And I'm actually surprised. I'm not sure whether this matter came up in court or not. And I'm concerned as to why we did not get copies of this letter in the first place, because we spent hours and hours deliberating on this matter, that the minister was wrong in sending this correspondence through to McBride, that he does not have the right. But by implication of these letters that were sent on the 5th of September and the subsequent one in November, clearly indicates that at all given time, Robert McBride knew that the minister is an interested party, that he in some way or the other has to communicate or accept correspondence or accept a decision, because if you read his letters, he's expecting the ministry to either extend or not to extend. Now, that's what he did. So clearly by implication, he's confirmed that the minister is indeed the correct person. Now, then he goes on to say, the minister does not have a right. It's not the minister that decides. He goes one step further and tells the minister that we should start the process of advertising and complete the process so that you don't want it to interfere, because this iPad needs to function smoothly and continuously without any interference and hindrance. Now this happened months before the expiry of his contract. So what is clear? He knew his contract is coming to an end. He knew that there's a great possibility, and I don't know where he gets this from, but if you read these letters, it indicates there's some kind of movement in that direction, that he may not be getting this position, he may not be getting an extension. He's advising what to do. The minister does that, the minister responds to him, and then it's blown out of proportion as if the minister is doing something wrong. But he led the minister into this. So that's that. For me, I think it's a very clear situation. Like I said yesterday, Mr. Chairperson, there was a contract, it expired. Minister does have a role, even though he may not directly decide, but he has a role, and by implication of this, that confirms that. If anybody gave the minister the right, then it's Robert McBride himself that gave the right to the minister to respond to this thing here and take a decision. Because basically, if you read this, he's like pushing the minister to take a side, because you're running out of time. And I'm willing to help you, advertise, get the right person in, I'm going. That's one. But added to that is the fact that he then applied for other jobs. Now the question that arises, Chair, and I know there was some vigorous debate yesterday in support of why Robert McBride would have applied for other jobs, and we all, including me, said, well, he has the right to apply for other jobs, he may not have a job, fine. But the most important point in terms of applying for the job, Chair, is this. That had he got that job, he was going to start work on the 5th of April, which then indicates that IPED would not have had him as the head, which then means IPED will get somebody else, which then means it will not interfere with the investigation that is in place now. It clearly means that his interest is not the investigation. It is not IPED. In his case, his interest is in getting a job. Finish that one, he's going there. When that one finishes, going there, which is his right in any event. But by indicating, Chair, that there will be implications or in terms of the current investigation, it's clearly not the case. Because had he got the job, he was gone. So how would he then? And to conclude with that, it's an organization. It's a unit that functions. It's not necessarily one individual. So clearly, I think, Chair, with all the time we spent, in fact, I'm concerned why the courts do. I don't know whether they actually considered these things, because this alone should show that the minister, in my view, has not done anything wrong. He may not have the right to decide ultimately, but he has the right to inform him that I have no intention of renewing your contract. Let the portfolio committee decide. And the minister wrote to us as much as he wrote to him. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. According to me, about these two letters, yesterday we were misinformed that the minister wrote to Mr. McBride that he is not renewing his contract, whereas we didn't know that he is the one who wrote to the minister as and asked him about the renewal of his contract. I thought that the minister was wrong, Chairperson. When McBride wrote these letters to the minister, he forgot about the Portfolio Committee of Police that he was supposed to write to us, to write to the minister and CC to the Portfolio Committee, and said, I wrote this letter to the minister to inform him about my contract that is ending at the end of the of February. And yesterday we blamed the minister. Why? You see, these things now are contradicting. I'm so happy because these letters, we have these letters now. And I don't know if the court has these two letters. And in this letter, he was not telling him to renew his contract. He recommended that the process of advertising the post and the selection of a suitable candidate commences at the earliest opportunity, of which is not him as suitable. If he wanted this job, he was supposed to say, advertise the post and appoint me because I love this job, or this job, I am going to do this and that to the minister. But he didn't that. He said the suitable candidate commences at the earliest. And now we are in this. He went to court and said only the portfolio committee that will say I must leave or my contract must be renewed. But we don't have the letters. He didn't say we have been prepared earlier. In September, we have been prepared earlier and called the minister, what are you doing about this contract? Are you renewing it or not? But now we are discussing this, whereas there are two letters that he wrote. For me, Chairperson, this, I don't know how to put it. He contradicted himself, Chairperson. For me, it's not good. He is not a good person to do that, Chairperson, because now we are fighting each other. Why the minister write a letter to him? Why he is not renewing? Whereas he knows that he is the one who wrote to the minister. If he did this earlier and sent the letter to us, we will not be here, Chairperson. We have been done January or February, advertise the post, and we reappoint him or reappoint the suitable candidate. That is saying, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Mula. Other members of this topic? Honourable Bailey.
Thank you, Chairperson. This correspondence certainly does shed more light on the preceding period to the minister's letter on the 16th of January, was it? Yeah, 16th January. Sorry, Chair, I've got some technical work happening around me. But I think the point that shouldn't be lost is something from a movie a couple of years back called The Keeper, where they have this emphasis on what they call precision of language, right? And so it's about having accurate and clear understanding of the meaning and sentiment that is conveyed in communication. And for me, what's key is that in that 2018 correspondence from the ED, his specific recommendation and request was for the initiation of an advertising and selection process. Remember, Che, the crux of the issue right now is renewal. And as I said twice so far, the ambiguity and the difficulty is that the IPED Act does not speak explicitly to the procedural requirements of renewal. We've had to infer, and has been, I guess, concretized by the agreement between the parties, which became a court order. But none of us can make a specific citation in statutes as to what is exactly required step by step. If it had been a selection process, as Mr. McBride requested, that's provided for. And let's think about what the timeline would have been. The advert would have gone out sometime late last year. Candidates would have applied. Perhaps the ED may or may not reapply, may or may not have reapplied. We don't know. But that would have gone through the relevant filtering process. And as per the IPED Act, the final step in that selection process would have been for the committee to reject or confirm the nomination. So we still would have ended up at the committee. We still would have ended up having this kind of similar discussion. And so for me, that's the point I'm making, is that it doesn't change what the, what the final step in the process would have been. If anything, the minister has muddied the waters and complicated things, I'm not impugning any intention as to that. So I'm just saying that's, okay, maybe we'll put it this way. Because there wasn't an early enough response, we've now ended up in a situation where the waters are muddied, and we've now had to do this kind of last minute, process on an urgent basis. Because all we know from the minister's January letter is that he's taken a decision or expressed an intention not to renew. But that's very open-ended. What's going to happen then? There's no indication as to whether there would be an acting director appointed, for how long, when is the actual selection process going to be initiated, because the IPED Act's unique actually to most statutes is very specific that any vacancy in the ED's position must be filled within a year. So even if there had been an acting director appointed, it would still have had to be filled within a year. And leaving it open-ended exposes IPED to the risk of even that being not complied with. So I think the point is this could have gone a different way. It could have gone much better, but we still would have ended up with the committee making a determination concerning a ministerial nomination. But now we find ourselves dealing with a renewal issue and sort of feeling our way in the dark. So it's not quite a final nail in the coffin for me. I don't think it's quite that clear cut as to a binary of right and wrong. It now means that we're having to deal with the situation as best as we can. And that is why now the question is whether there are compelling substantive reasons to definitely not renew or confirm the minister's decision not to renew, and or compelling substantive reasons to go against that. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Buthelezi, then Honourable Kaulebona, then Honourable Molobatsi.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think I will agree with the Honourable Ramatlakane in terms of the letter to say the letter that McBride wrote to the Minister is very clear, of which it states something that we all know as the committee. The question that I have, because I'm not sure whether I missed that on the Act, as to what would have happened if the Minister intended to renew his contract. But because I think that's a very important thing to say. Was that going to be, meaning the whole process, as Honourable Mbele said, to say, was going to unfold? If not, then I think I will stand on the view that Mr. McBride was correct. And if then the minister was not going to renew the contract, as he has said in his letter, then the response would have to say, I acknowledge your letter, which brings this matter to my attention, of which I'm aware of, but the matter will be referred to the relevant committee, not to simply expressly say that he has decided not to, because that's the problem that we are seated with here as the committee. I think my contribution is that point to say I would have loved to know what would have happened if the minister had considered to renew, because then that could mean something totally different from me in as far as this matter is concerned. And also, if you look at the minister's letter after having expressed his decision, then McBride then began to say, on what basis, what did you take into account, of which even myself, I would have expected there to say, I've been in the position, if I'm not considered, then what are the reasons? I will make just an example, say you find that some people apply for a post and they are not shortlisted. And if they feel that they are qualifying and they've got a right to be shortlisted, there is those issues, which the same issue, as far as I'm concerned, with regards to this. Then the minister gave his reasons. That's where the problem begins now, to say those reasons the minister advances, he's dismissing them. And here we are today. And as a committee, I think to some extent, we, as much as it's correct that we deal with this matter in the manner that we are, but we seem to be confusing ourselves. We are overemphasizing issues, which I think we should not, because ours is to say, let's forget that the minister pronounced on this. Here is the letter. And then these are the reasons that the minister advanced, and these are the responses from McBride. As a committee now, are we satisfied that he can be renewed? If yes, then we do so. If not, then we bring now these issues to say, how are we going to respond to them and then begin the process going forward?
Thank you, Honourable Buthelezi, Honourable Kaulebona, then Honourable Molobatsi.
Thank you, Chair. At around within a day or so of the requests or queries to the minister by the head of the IPID, when the minister received this asking of the ministry's intentions, he personally would have or should have been aware of the work that this committee had almost completed or just completed and handed to the NCOP for concurrence. In fact, the chief whip of the ANC welcomed the amendments that were made, saying it restricted political influence in the removal and suspension of various directors of the IPID. So that matter, in fact, when those letters were sent through, were still to some intent unclear, and have only afterwards now been clarified by a court decision as that that no, it all falls to this committee. So we were in the middle of putting an amendment bill through that in fact would have shifted, absolutely clarified the situation and said, no, it is not up to the minister, it's up to the portfolio committee, and it constricted any minister's ability to dabble in appointments of the IPID. So I think the court rulings, and indeed the one again this year, have adequately dealt with that. There was a lot of confusion at that time as to who took the decisions, and that matter has now been clarified.
But remember, we must just take note, the court decision referred to the disciplinary process of the ED. Remember, that was the big issue. That's why certain sections of the Public Service Act is not applicable in the case of the ED. And that's the issues that we rectified. But we've got a copy of the court cases in the bundle, so members are welcome to look at that. Honourable Malabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. You see, in the letter of the 5th September 2018, written by Mr. McBride to the Minister, it is quite clear that he knows and acknowledges the role of the Minister in his contract, whether to retain him or renew it. And I don't know after that what happened to his mind. And Chair, in that score, I rest my case.
Thank you. Any other member who wants to have a bite? Honourable Mabija and Honourable Markey, thank you.
I just want to read this letter of the fifth, because we just talked about it. And it's not everybody maybe who's listening who has this letter, what it says. It was written on the 5th of September. Information for note, dear Honorable Minister, meaning Becky Kelly. The contract term, Executive Director. As you may be aware, I was appointed on the 1st of March 2014. I was appointed through an appointment letter. The appointment letter indicated that the appointment was for a 5-year term. As such, my term ends on the 28th February 2019. That would be in just over 5 months' time. I wish to understand whether the ministry intends to retain or extend my contract. Lastly, certainly in this regard, will provide sufficient time to make the necessary arrangements and preparation, whatever the decision or intention is. Kindly revert to me at your earliest convenient time. McBride, the Executive Director, IPID, date 6, then September 2018. This one of the 13th November 2018, it reads, information note, dear Honorable Minister, follow-up contract term. Executive Director, the above matter has reference. Information note was submitted to the Minister's office on the 6th September 2018 in this regard. Copy attached as Annexa A. Subsequently, a meeting was concluded by the Office of the Minister.
Pleasure concluded, but you're welcome to continue. Thank you. You're welcome. You can continue. You're welcome.
You can continue.
Okay. The information note serves as a follow-up on the matter. My term ends on the 28th February 2019. That would be in just over 3 months' time. As stated in the previous information note, certainly in this regard, will provide sufficient time to make the necessary arrangements and preparations. Whatever the decision, retention, extension or not, the IPID will need to continue to function optimally. Lastly, it is thus recommended that the process of advertising the post and the selection of a suitable candidate commences at the earliest opportunity. Kindly revert to me at your earliest convenience. Mr. McBride, Executive Director of IPED, dated 13th November 2018. So, what the previous speakers have been presenting, I should think is very correct and very valid. So we just need to understand that there's no longer a need to be deliberating on this. We know our mandate, what to do and what not to do. So I close up by saying what I wanted is to let everybody to know the whole information from the two letters. Thank you.
Honorable Mabija, Honorable Mbaki.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm the one that asked for these two letters yesterday. And I specifically said the omission of these two letters, it's a bit dangerous. Because it gives an impression that the minister woke up on the left side of his bed and decided to write a letter to McBride. So in some cases it was lying by omission. And I'm not even very sure whether this was in the court papers, because surely it would have made a very big difference to the judge, even if I'm not a legal person. That's all I wanted to say, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, members. I think we have used all available time for these letters. It's been read into the record, and members gave their opinions. And, of course, when we later this afternoon or early evening come to our deliberations in terms of conclusions, of course, members can raise it again. Right, thank you very much. Members, we're still waiting for the AG notes. It will be with us shortly. Let's move then to the next issue. On the second page, that is the letter of the Public Service Commission that was made available to members. It's also in the pack, and it relates to a finding that was made by the Public Service Commission with regard to the transfer of duties of a deputy director in IPED. Honourable Ramatlakane, 7 minutes, thank you.
Honourable Chair, yesterday in the 15-minute session, I alluded in passing on this particular letter, which has it emanated from a staff member, the name Sauhadze, working for IPED as a deputy director in the vetting section, is heading vetting of personnel. I did mention yesterday that there is an issue which in the minister's letter or reasons, he mentioned something and he quoted as abuse of authority and abuse of power, alleging that the head of IPED somehow do abuses his power and authority. This is contained in this letter. The Public Service Commission conclusion on this letter, the findings of this letter, Chair. When you read the story about the letter, and you read it, what the reason, what activated all of these, and the reaction to it. If I read the story properly, and I'm summarizing it, this lady wanted a transfer, wanted to go and work at another unit, and the response of the ED, in fact, to be precise, the issue here was applying to go and work in the police. The reaction of my iPad here, the director, was by virtue of this request taking a view that she should be removed as a head of vetting in the in this unit of IPED, and I must emphasize the important the question of vetting has been an issue that the committee has been talking about over years in IPED, in fact emphasizing the question of vetting. That how important the vetting is, the personnel vetting is, it is. Then, of course, the reaction was that by virtue of raising that, it then means that this lady is too close to SAPS. Henceforth, he should be removed and be confined somewhere in the supply chain, not at the job what she's been appointed to do. And of course, this was then dealt with by the history, the letter you can read for the detail. But worse, Chair, which is somebody who appropriate powers they don't have. Worse ones that the transfer happens, but this lady, remember, she has been given she has been vetted before she could be that head of that vetting. Vetted by SSA, she holds a vetting security clearance of a particular level. This is removed from her by the ED. ED voice becomes law. Transferred to there, and we've been taking away the power, so no longer being able to vet. You can't vet. You're just an ordinary supply chain person now in the department. That is the letter. The Public Service Commission findings and dealing with this letter is quite serious to my reading, because it says there's a violation of the policy. First, the policy of IPED for what the ED has done was a violation of that very same policy. And it says this, what has happened here, is abuse and harassment. And later they explained in the letter, and I think I was able to read the letter, they explain it that the letter, the heavy complaint was substantiated. In fact, they say that this act is also gravitating in injuring Section 33(1) of the Constitution, of what the ED has in fact done as a head of the IPED. So, for me, the reading and looking at, and the recommendation here, is that all of what has happened should be corrected. She should be reinstated back in the position of a vetting officer in the IPED. I don't know whether that has happened. I mean, we're not asked to deal with that. But the point I want to make, the Chair, reading this letter, looking at the minister's allegation, which is now seems to be collaborated with the, not by individual, by an institution, Public Service Commission, on the action and the action of the head of IPED in this case. This letter points to the fact that, you know, if anybody is a head of institution and act without regarding what the rules and procedure and policies are, is one of the serious thing that happens in institutions, that it happens. So therefore, I want to conclude by saying, Chair, in my last minutes, this part of the Public Service Commission, in the papers of the ED glibly says, you're talking about the Public Service Commission, that thing was completed, they found me no guilty, the matter was sorted, glibly. But when we asked for additional records, contrary, it's actually true. So again, we've been misled to believing that that issue, if we were just to go at the face value of what is written, would have been just simply been misled to believing that it all is allegation that is being
on time.
Time. Okay, thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mula, then Honorable Malabachi.
Thank you, Chairperson. In our files, we've got this letter, but this letter in our files, it doesn't have page 4, where there were recommendations for the PSC. I don't know if it's IP'd which misled us, or they're doing the printing.
No, it's from the minister's office. So I think maybe the secretariat misfiled the copies. Yeah.
Okay, Chairperson, that's what I wanted to know, because yesterday I read this letter and I didn't find the recommendation. But I'm happy today because you gave us the recommendation. What I'm afraid of, or I'm worried of, is that they said the IP should be advised to refrain from harassing Mrs. Sehautse in this regard. I'm too sensible, Chairperson, about women. If you are harassing women in your department, the abuse of women, what kind of a person are you? And you appoint a person in this position, and this person was appointed as a director, deputy director, vetting. And now she was transferred to all the departments, supply chains, where she's not going to add value. Why they were transferring her to those departments, which means they were frustrating her, because I'm so worried if the IP, all the IP members are vetted, Chairperson, because in all these years or months, we're talking about SARS and everything, but we didn't talk about IP. This thing gives me a question mark. This person was a what, Chairperson? A threat to them. That's what I'm worried about. Abuse of women, Chairperson. He must refrain from abusing women. I'm a woman, Chairperson. You know the 16 days of activity, Chairperson. That's my problem, Chairperson. I thank you that we got the last page. Yeah. The abuse and harassing, Chairperson. It's not good. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member, Honorable Mulabachi, and then Honorable Marke, and Honorable Buglesi, and Honorable Bele, and thank you. And Honorable Kodabonat, and then Honorable Inam Sheikh, the last one. Thank you. Can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the inappropriate manner that this deputy director was handled. She was stripped of her title. Her security clearance was withdrawn by the ED willy-nilly, which was unprocedural. This is a victimization of the highest order. And to me, the ED was applying her bullying tactics. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Marking.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we don't need to belabor this point. It is very clear in the findings. Unless if we are appealing the findings, they are written down that the executive director went against the constitution of this country. I don't think if there's anything bigger than that one. So I don't see why should we start debating this thing. It's a finding of the Public Service Commission, which I think is a Chapter 9 institution, which is independent. The finding says he went against the constitution of the country, the supreme law. I think that says it all. We are not, unless if we are disputing the findings, then you need to appeal somewhere else. We are having findings here, it's finished with us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Markey, then Honorable Buthelezi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think I will agree with the previous speaker, and to say, for me, I think this letter is one thing that comes against him from many things that we've been discussing. Thank you, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Buthelezi, Honorable Bailey, and then Honorable Gola Barnard, and then Honorable Imam Shaikh. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. The useful issue about this document is that it's the first time we're dealing with a finding, not allegations, not whispers, not, you know, we're dealing with a finding by an investigative body, and thus can be treated in a, I guess, in a more clear manner than much of what has come up yesterday. And so we need to look at what kind of finding is it. It's a finding of labor malpractice. And the question that flows from that is whether a finding of labor malpractice is of a nature or egregiousness that warrants what kind of proportionate reactional sanction. I note that the recommendations of the PSC is that the transfer should be reversed, that the withdrawal of the security certificate is invalidated, and that IPID is advised to refrain from harassment. I wasn't quite clear as to the stated grounds for the finding of harassment, but I do see a whole section here, and I suppose, yeah, speak to an effect of harm through various actions, which is quite broad, but that's as it is. What's not clear for me, and just raises a question, is that the reasons advanced by the IPID, which I assume would have been done in the course of the investigation, are not stated. There's only the finding by the Public Service Commission that the reasons advanced by the IPID are found to be baseless and without merits. So we have to take that finding at the word of the commission without being able to make an apple for apples comparison. So it's, you know, it's labor malpractice. The commission's findings and recommendations do not seem to speak to an issue of competence or incompetence, fitness for purpose or not, and those kind of high level issues that I believe this process is about in terms of the renewal determination. So yeah, the point is taken, adverse finding. As to whether or not one could argue in court that labor malpractice is ground for your fitness for a position is now conclusively found to be not there. Well, in that case, I think there's a whole bunch of people in the public sector and otherwise who would have to face a similar fate. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Honourable Godabona.
Yeah.
Can I clarify something, Honourable Chairperson?
Yes, you're welcome.
Honourable Bailey talked for a very long time, but I didn't hear what you were saying.
Ask the technical division to get
what,
the mic.
What was his point? I mean, he read through this and he went over this. He said this. What is he actually telling us?
We're not going to make a better judgment. Maybe it's got 7 minutes and Admiral Codabana.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The letter is about a person the ED unilaterally transferred and he removed her security clearance. Now, as determined at the end, he overreached, his action was found to be incorrect and it was reversed. Now, this was 3 years ago, and I have not seen the letter from the ED explaining his actions, the reasons for his actions, we understand the action and the way he went about it was against labor law, but why did he do it? So the woman was returned to her position. There's certainly no reference to the Constitution, but his decision was reversed. Now, we surely should have a letter from him filling in why did he take this action? Or these actions as unprocedural as they were. The PSC does not recommend that any action be taken against Mr. McBride at all. There's no suggestion that Mr. McBride should be fired or charged because of this action. As much has been elaborated here about the possibility of what he did, we really have no idea why he did it. Perhaps had the matter been dealt with in another fashion, following different procedures, her actions may have been considered to be so egregious as to see her face various charges. We don't know. So the procedure was not followed correctly. It was put back on track, but without an explanation from him. We're taking a very one-sided view of the action. And I repeat, it was not considered to be so serious that the Commission proposed any charges against him at all. It was simply a procedural matter that was wrong, and as I say, it might well have had a different outcome had it been approached in a different, along a different line. So what I think we need is some sort of explanation as to why he did what he did, and this committee may well agree that what this person did was so egregious that it should have perhaps gone further along correct labor legislation lines. Thank you.
Now, remember yesterday we've instructed the secretariat to provide this letter to Mr. McBride and he must give us feedback today.
Okay,
so, yeah, so we ask for that. Yeah. Right. First of all, Marky, did you raise a point there?
Chairperson, I think maybe a request on your side, or maybe give direction. The last two speakers, I don't know, are they saying that they are against the findings? Or are they saying we must start and get a story from Bright and we are not the commission? Are they doubting what the commission did? Or what are they actually telling us? I mean, I'm asking that for the second time.
I don't
because if it's a finding, I would presume that maybe this finding is taken to somebody else to take a decision. Maybe it's sent to the minister, I'm not sure, or maybe it's sent to the NPA. And you can't tell me harassment of women is a minor thing. I think it's summary dismissal if you are found guilty on that one, even if I'm not a legal person. We can't allow somebody to sit here and tell us that in the public service, harassing women is a minor thing. I mean, if they don't have anything to say in relation to this, maybe it hit them under belt, they never expected it, why don't they simply keep quiet?
Members, I see a lot of hands. Let's just get back on track. Remember, we give 7 minutes to members. We might disagree with the views, but remember, later today, we're going to go to findings. So if there is agreement, for instance, on this topic that the committee agrees or not agree with the public, so that will be the process. So I don't want to, otherwise we're going to be stuck into technical points the whole time. Otherwise, I mean, Akani, do you still want to speak on this?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
I just want to correct this hugely incorrect facts presented by Honorable Kolobarat. She says this is 3 years ago. This matters is February 2018, when this matter started. Actually, the application happens on the 14th of December 2017. The memorandum, when the lady wrote a memorandum of request, presented in February. It's 1 year when this matter happened. So to say it's 3 years, I want you just to correct that in terms of this. It's actually not 3 years. 3 years is incorrect.
Thank you for that. Is there technical points on the Mullah, then on Imam Sheikh, and then on Kana Barnard? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I become worried and disappointed a woman protect men for abusing or harassing other women. I became worried, Chairperson, because the things that we are talking about is written here. It's not from us. It's the recommendation from the PSC. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Imam Sheikh.
Thank you, Chair. You know, the concern that I have, Chair, is that we are forgetting about the seriousness of the actions of the Executive Director, Robert McBride, in this instance. Now, surely as the head, he knows rules, he knows laws, he knows the labor law, he knows what you can do and what you can't do. No one has ever contested the Public Service Commission findings. Okay. What is clear is that he has violated not only the rights of the individual concerned here, of the labor laws. In fact, what it clearly shows that the ED in this case is a law unto himself. If he decides black is white, then black is white. He did not consult him. In fact, he's been walking all over. That's clearly what it shows. And it comes back to why so many people have challenges with the ED of the way he conducts his affairs. Now, for me, it's contradictory when you decide unilaterally that you don't want somebody, but when somebody else like the minister decides I don't want to extend your contract, then it's a problem if anybody else wants it. But if you decide I don't want somebody, you just remove them. Let us be consistent in what we do. I don't even understand why we're defending. This thing is quite clear. He went beyond his powers. If not, and let us be honest about one thing here. In order for this Public Service Commission to come to these findings, they would have gone through an entire process, including getting representation from the ED as to why did you do A, B, and C. And that's why they came to this finding. I'm actually shocked that we even want to, in a very devious manner, if that's the term I should use, are trying to question the findings that was never contested. So, for me, Chair, it clearly says one thing, that as the head, and look at the reasons in terms of what we gave here. IPED is at war with crime intelligence. So right now he believes he's at war with the minister. Right now he believes he's at war with Pashlane and everybody else, even though he's proven nothing against him.
So everything boils down to ED being the one that is right, and there are so many different people that have made so many statements against him. All of them tend to be wrong because he is above everybody else. That is his understanding of it, in my view. Now, if a person, you lead by example, you are a head of a department. If you undermine your fellow employees to the extent that you have, let us be honest, your institution will be ungovernable. It will be ungovernable. And that is why we're having so many problems there. So let us respect the findings. Okay? It is clear that he's a law unto himself. He respects nobody but himself. He wants you to accept what he does, which this commission has said is wrong. It clearly indicates he is not fit and proper to hold that office. I'll stop there, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mabija, you also want to give your 7 minutes, eh? 7 minutes, and then Honorable Mabija, just on the technical issue, and then we're going to have a short tea break. Honorable Mabija, 7 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to humbly request the two honorable members seated in front of me to stop fumbling, trying to divert the true facts of the issue of the item that we are dealing with, because they are just playing with our mind, testing the our reasoning powers, and that is taxing. We do not like it. May you please stop fumbling on something you know that it is not correct for you to do, but the inner thing, the inner ego, it's forcing you to just keep on fumbling, please.
Honorable Colonel Bonnet, you're the last, and let's try and douse the flames that we can have tea now in the next minute. Thanks.
Thanks very much. At no stage did I ever question the findings of this report or question anything said by the Public Service Commission in the report. What I said was, could we please hear why this was done? And in that letter, it would explain why it was done, or we would say, hear from him, I made a terrible mistake, but we don't have that site. So a lot of accusations have been made against what I had to say, that I don't understand, that I don't know, maybe can't play football, I don't know what the fumbling thing was, but all I wanted was an explanation for why this was done. As I say, there were no recommendations that the man should lose his job over a procedural error. So maybe it was a serious matter, maybe not. We need to know.
Members, I want to go to tea. Can we go to tea?
Yes.
Thank you. Let's go to tea for 7 minutes. We're coming back with the next topic. Thank you. Thank you, members.
Oh, I'm never going in that room again, ever.
I forget to ask, do you mind if I try? Try. I'm trying to see if it lives.
Which one? That one?
Yeah.
The chart?
No. The plug, oh. Yeah.
Is there a plug there? Oh, there's a plug. I didn't know, man.
I don't know this plug. I told you, just a platform.
I can't see you.
Thank you. Thank you. La prophet.
I was here in this parliament for 3 years and 6 months, and I forgot about this stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But see, people are looking at it every day.
3 years and 6 months.
Thank you, members. 1 minute. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. We're going to continue with the topics. Again, the 7-minute rule applies. The next topic is the public protect investigation. The minister refers to that in his papers, and also Mr. McBride in various matters with regard to the complaints that was lodged with the public protector. So members are welcome to honourable Marke.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a point of clarification before we get to that one. On the security clearance, did we deal with that and what was the decision? I heard you saying that it expired.
We decided yesterday that the committee will write to the Director General of State Security to give us a report on what is the status of it. So we haven't received, I think, yet the response. So as soon as we get that, we will communicate that to the committee.
Thank you.
So we now, colleagues, we with the issue of the public protect investigation that's referred to in both the papers of the minister as well as that of Mr. McBride. The floor is open. Thank you. Honourable Kolobana and then Honourable Ramatlakane. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, 2 points. The first is that I have not seen anywhere that the public protector is claiming that she's investigating, but a complaint has been lodged with her from what I've seen by the comparisons drawn. They are the self-same complaints that were discredited by the investigation by the Public Service Commission. So the Public Protector is, according to the Public Protector Act, obliged to conduct a preliminary investigation of every complaint, every and any complaint she receives, unless for three reasons, unless it's premature, it concerns a court decision, or it's submitted more than 2 years after the occurrence of the incident. So it's a preliminary investigation, and that's something that she actually has to do. Now, one of the complaints is anonymous. I'm actually not sure if any entity is allowed or expected to investigate an anonymous complaint, but the other one is indeed, again, the Nkabinda complaint, which has already been discredited by the Public Service Commission. So once a complaint has been investigated, it just seems that the outcome by the investigation by the Public Service Commission was an outcome that Mr. Nkabinda didn't like. And so he's tried in numerous other ways to reintroduce the same complaints that have been discredited and has now gone a step further by taking the self-same complaints and going to the public protector. Anyone else would have considered this to be a form of harassment, but that indeed does seem to be what it is. And even though I raised the issue at the very start of proceedings yesterday, and I said in that the Public Service Commission has investigated these allegations, in that they were all considered to be unfounded and false, in that Mr. Nkabinda actually withdrew them, and that date is detailed in the papers, should they not be removed. And there was some consideration of that. But then I noted yesterday that those self-same unfounded, discredited charges were quoted over and over and over as though somehow Mr. McBride had been found guilty of doing any of those things, stealing money, et cetera, all of which were unfounded and found to be false. So the public protector is simply doing what her job is and conducting a preliminary investigation, as she would do with any case lodged with her. So one can't sit back and say, oh, the public protector is investigating him. That is simply untrue.
Thank you. Honourable Ramatlakane. And then Honourable Marke. Thank you.
No, Chair, Honourable Chair, my point on this, the first one is just to clarify that I don't remember that
we have already found not guilty of anything. We're not running a DC here.
Yeah.
This is not a DC that we're running. We're listening and we're engaging with what has been presented to us by both the minister and McBride on the issue of a contract. The issue that keep us here together is a contract which expires in 2 days or 3 days from now. So there is no judgment about whether it's wrong. We are dealing with this issue, and that decision, if it's going to be taken, it will be taken later. So far, I don't remember us saying that. So appropriating things to others, it's not good. It's not good. Yesterday, when the issue about Mr. Ngabinde was mentioned, and there was a call that, therefore, that as part of what the minister is complaining about should be struck off the record. I then said, but in the document, the minister is making reference to September, and in the record, in the pile of information, there is a letter from Mr. Ngabinde to the chairperson asking specifically, how far are you with my complaint? On that basis, we agree that the letter should be sent to him. He should clarify where he stands. What is it? If he has withdrawn the charges, why would he write to you in October? That's really what we said should happen, so that we are clear. We're not saying he's no longer an issue when he is, in fact, an issue. So I think I just want to clarify that we speak for ourselves. I will speak on my views without any concern about what other people take it for. But coming to the public protector, in the paper, Mr. McBride has a long chapter explaining the complaint away. My reading of the explanation, he was having a lot of work in trying to take away the complaint, make the complaint doesn't exist, it's just a normal run of the mill when the complaint allegation is made, does not mean there's an investigation, da 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 da. He was explaining it away. What are the facts? The fact that there is a complaint lodged, and that complaint, reading of this paper, it is done by the minister. So it's a complaint. It's not something from the street. It's not a call center. It's a complaint on the table. What does the complaint say? What are the allegations? Allegations are serious. Some of the allegations are already corroborated. For the record, the matter that we were discussing earlier on around the Public Service Commission, dealing precisely with the issue about violation of the iPad policy. Not anybody else, but iPad policy. Copy of the policy, the issue about the leave. Remember we spoke about it yesterday. The question about selling the what is left of your leave for money, converting it to money. We've already spoken about that without necessarily having approved by someone else. You can't approve your own thing. You can't pay yourself and call it legal. So all of these things is what we discussed about yesterday. They are contained in this letter. So they are serious. I don't agree with respect to Mr. McBride to say all of these things are really frivolous. Don't have to worry about it, push ahead with what we're pushing ahead. Actually, some of the things here, for me, they are hair-raising issue. I mean, there is an issue here on 337, on the letter of public protector. 337 is approximately 500,000. That is fake. That is an allegation about irregularly paid in terms of legal service. Right? It's not just an allegation. there's an issue about this. In fact, there was an issue here about it last year, even though there was a withdrawal of the report, but there's an issue about it. So, and we can't say it's not important, therefore it doesn't play a role, doesn't influence. If there's a misconduct becomes almost like a barrier if it's not complete. If it's a misconduct which is not completed, it becomes a barrier because it's an issue that must be first cleared before you move into the next stage. The people that are alleged here, which on 334, some of them we know them personally. These people that were at that place, they left. They left that place. It is alleged here that they left there because they were asked to implicate or to write a false statement. Some of them are advocates here, which we know personally. They refuse to do it. So it's allegation. It must be tested. They must be called. They must explain. So it's an issue, Chair. Now the last
30 seconds.
The purchase of automatic, semi-automatic firearms. The other one, I think, is an issue about a civilian device. The whole thing about purchasing of these issues and civilian device, one worries what control, for what purpose, and so on. So I think somebody must explain those things. I think it's a serious issue for me, Chair, so I would not say we should take it off the table because there is a almost like a long lecture about public protector does the investigation. Thank you.
Honorable Marke, and then Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I think I would still say that where there's still investigations going on, we can throw that out of the window because there hasn't been any decision taken about the investigation. But as it was in my understanding that the public protector dismisses frivolous complaints, but the fact that he is investigating this one, it means, I'm not a legal person, but they usually talk about prima facie or something of that nature.
Yeah.
It means that already exists, the fact that she is investigating. But I still maintain that we can put aside the investigations, not for this committee for now, but still to be investigated in another forum. Especially because maybe they've been referred to us, but not for this purpose. So my view is that where the investigations are not completed as yet, that we can put aside for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Marker, Honorable Mula, then Honorable Molabachi, then Honorable Bele.
Thank you, Chairperson. On this letter of the, in front of me I've got the letter from Advocate Mrs. Mkwebane, which was written on the 17th of October 2018. It was written to the Honorable Minister Pikele. When this thing appeared on the media that the public protector is investigating Mr. McBride, he went to the media and said, This is wrong. It was the public protector is not investigating him. I don't know what he said about the public protector, but the only letter that we are having is from the public protector. We don't have the other one that the public protector is not investigating him. And when you look here, Chairperson, there are serious allegations that Mr. McBride paid himself an HOD allowance for the period he was on suspension without receiving the approval from the minister. And he paid himself an amount of 100,000 for unused leave credits for the year 2015-2016 without receiving the approval from the minister. Where is Mr. McBride reporting to? Because I can't approve my leave. If I want to go to leave, I may ask the whip of the party or the person to approve for me, not myself. Which means McBride was doing everything. He was his own boss. He was everything in that department. He was not reporting to anybody. The second one, on page 4, it says the staff who refused to falsely implicated the former executive director, Mr. Khomso Phatlhana, of maladministration were forced to leave. If you were not dancing to his guitar, he sent you away. He was on his own, Jefferson. How can we say today we are dealing about the renewal of the contract, but there are misconducts and allegations and everything that are being done by the public protector, Jefferson. We must look at all these things, because now it's not us who are saying this. We've got the reports in front of us. And we must use our own minds, Jefferson. We must be sober-minded here when we are dealing with these things. We must be sober-minded, Jefferson. Because allegation is an allegation. Tomorrow they will say you are cleared or not. But if you are cleared, Jefferson, you must have a letter that says, I'm cleared from this. Like the one of the 500,000. We asked for it for 4 years. And you received the under one last year that you were cleared for paying the lawyers, Adams and Adams. For 4 years, he was reviewing that thing. He was reviewing for 4 years. And you don't know what happened, Jefferson. But we've got the letter that says it was cleared. Thank you, Jefferson, but you must be sober-minded here. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mula, Honorable Malabatsi, and then Honorable Mbele. Can any other members, can they, Honorable Bulezi? You covered. You for? Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Jefferson. Still on this allegations of irregular payments, he approved the salary progression of Mr. Soko, Mr. Tamini, Mr. Maoka, Mrs. Nechianda, Ms. Mpaho, Ms. Ntangan, irregularly. And then the other one that is serious for me is he introduced a new logo for IPIT without the necessary approvals and registration. And if you can remember, I asked him about the new logo the other day. And as usual, he just said what he wanted to say, just in passing. It was, to him, it was like a small thing. But here we are, we have it in the public protector's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bele. Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to get too embroiled in the nitty-gritty of the documents that is the current item on the agenda, because those are all allegations, and I don't think this committee is the competent body to make a qualitative evaluation of those. What I do want to do is to surface and
yeah, surface what's happened a couple of times, and it's this schizophrenia that keeps happening at different parts of our deliberations. On the one hand, we hear, it's expressed that allegations are allegations. We must be sober-minded, and you know, do this properly. But when allegations are read from this public protector documents, which is a listing of the allegations, they are read as facts, as supposed facts or a supposed reality. And again, we can't make a judgment yet. There are serious allegations, and they are going through the process. But every now and then they are expressed with a tone that suggests these are the facts, and therefore they now can be used to infer something about the conduct or character of the ED as it then has bearing on this process. And a salient point to make about this...
this order from Honourable Molabati.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You see, Honourable Mbele, we actually said allegations.
Hmm.
Yeah. Meaning you are saying what you are saying.
Quite right.
But you want to say it in another way.
Yeah. No, sure, I think, we're on the same page there. But I want to make the point again that they're allegations. A salient point to raise about the public protector investigation is that, at least as per the ED submission, he says that he has not yet been formally advised of these allegations or given the opportunity to respond, because he first heard of them in the minister's submission, and that there is currently the preliminary investigation by the public protector in order to determine whether they will then launch into a full and comprehensive one to make findings. So we're dealing with the first stage of an embryonic exploratory process of allegations. And again, I'm going to say that the weighting that we give to any submission has to be taken in its proper framing. If I was right now to submit a dossier of allegations against any other member to, say, the Ethics Committee or wherever, that in and of itself means nothing except perhaps for a reputational damage until the Ethics Committee sits, deliberates, processes, and arrives at a conclusion. That's where we are in relation to this. So I just want to caution against being shocked at the allegations, because, Chairperson, quite rightly, if the allegations are found to be true, I will be at the front of the queue for this committee to do its job and initiate those removal proceedings. But until we get there, the allegations.
Thank you very much, Honourable Buklesi. You're welcome. 7 minutes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I just want to ask from the chair whether we did receive a letter confirming the fact that Kabinde withdrew his allegations.
No, as I indicated at the beginning of our proceedings today, the letters went to the various people yesterday, and we will ask the secretary during the day to continuously contact the various role players we wrote yesterday to get the confirmation on it. So we're still awaiting that. That's why we also said that 6 o'clock tonight is a possibility for another meeting. Yes.
So then if that's the case, Chair, I don't know up to what extent can we engage on this matter. But I think that letter on its own will assist this committee a great deal. So we'll end up lamenting, and at the end of the day, we're not supposed, if it's true that these allegations were withdrawn, then why do we discuss them? Because they fall out of our table. Unless they were not, then there's something that we should consider.
No, I think that point was made yesterday. Other members, thank you very much. Do you want to speak on the merits of on this topic or not? Are you covered?
No, I won't, because of what I just said now.
Yeah. Okay. Any other member? Honourable Mabija, and then Honourable Imam Sheikh, thank you.
On heaven's sake, we do understand that before us here, we have allegations, and those allegations are negative. They are not positive. How and on earth can we not do what we are expected to do? How on earth must we fail to do what is expected of this committee to do? Checking on all these allegations. To crown it all, some allegations are put in a very dark cloud over the head of the incumbent from the public protector's office. So I don't see the reason why we should be straining our brains. It's so clear and explicit. There's nothing that stops us to take a decision because these are just allegations. We are expected to do what we need to do, what we know is the honorable thing to do. Oh no, before the 28th. So I see no reason why we should be dragging this item. It's obvious. Thank you.
Thank you, Mabu. We're going to Honorable Imam Sheikh and then Honorable Delezi on the same topic.
Thank you, Chair. Sometimes I wonder whether I'm on the same planet, Chair, because sometimes I hear that when there are allegations, we must suspend people, remove them, fire them, do everything. Sometimes when the serious allegations are here, you say, no, these are only allegations. I just wonder where we are really. But anyway, Chair, let me say in the beginning, the allegations by Kabinda and those before the public protector are not entirely the same. The ones on Kabinda relates more to unethical conduct, particularly if you look at the issue of Paul O'Sullivan and the involvement of the ED in this matter. So the Kabinda issue and the public protector are not entirely the same. The public protector one is more extensive and there's a whole host of allegations that are there. And let us be honest. Now, there are serious allegations, and there's just not one, two, or three. 100,000 unused leave credit, paid himself HOD allowance, granted him a salary progression, paid several employees leave pay, sidelined the chief financial officer, oversaw a number of irregular staff appointments, forced IPD staff to refuse to falsely implicate former director Homotso Paslane. If why do you talk about Paslane's matter, let us not forget all the allegations against Paslane, the matters were withdrawn. You understand? How are we talking about a credible person here, Chair?
I don't know yet.
Are we talking with the evidence thus far in front of us? You know, I get the impression sometimes that the ED does not need senior counsel. He has silk in this house sometimes, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, but what I'm saying is, Chair, there are so many allegations, and this is only one aspect to deal with the issue of the renewal. We've dealt with so many different reasons. I'm still yet to be convinced why I must actually support a renewal of this contract. Chair, I've seen the highest level of deceit, even with those letters. The world, South Africans all know, the minister did something wrong. That was not even put into the document, into the court file, only came in much later. But conveniently, now you're telling me again that I must then, with what I have in front of me, the evidence that there's deceit, There's an attempt to want to misdirect us, but not even making, providing those letters and things, that I must forget all these allegations that are before the public protector. Now, we all know there's no smoke without fire, and I'm not saying that he is guilty of these. But I'm saying, under the present circumstances, with so many allegations against him, and with all the other aspects that we have gone through so far, including the letters, the finding another job, removing people forcefully, being alone to himself, the contract, I'm still hearing here why he must still remain in that job. And I'm not concerned. But let me make one thing very clear, Chair. That in terms of the public protector, and I think there was some argument about one person that was unanimous, or what's the term, anonymous. I don't know, Chair, even if yourself, Chair, given the circumstances of how somebody was forcefully removed without following any processes, plus you are buying guns without due authority, you know, whether you wouldn't feel intimidated to give your name when you want to give evidence against somebody. It's normal human behavior. But it doesn't mean if that some anonymous person has given some allegation, made some allegation, it should not be tested. Now, for a public protector to accept this file and to say they are investigating, surely there must be something in there that gave them the understanding that there is perhaps a prima facie evidence that we should proceed with the investigation. Yeah. Let us not undermine these authorities. Because if the public protector was very capable, at any stage, had the slightest inclination that, nah, this is just a waste, let's not waste taxpayers' money, there's nothing to this, would have immediately not even taken on the matter. But he's taken on the matter and is conducting investigation because that office believes, not conclusive, but believes there is a strong possibility you might have conviction. And that's what it is about. So let us not undermine those processes. It is allegation that this is, but they are serious. The question we need to ask ourselves is, while there are so many serious allegations amongst many other items, is it in the interest of IPED to renew a contract of the ED given the present circumstances? And my submission in that is based on what the public protector is, clearly there isn't. I'll stop there, Chair.
Thank you. It's Honorable Lazy. Honorable Ramil Khan, you must also speak still on this issue. Thank you.
thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would be very happy when we come to a point where we decide on the matter, because that is where I think we'll be able to meet each other as the committee members. It's very good to have self-confidence, but it's another thing to insist on your own views. First, I want to say no one has said here, let us renew the contract. No one has said that. We're engaging so that when we get to that point, we have deliberated the matter in a manner that satisfies all of us. I would suspect that some members seem to have to be conflicted, if I may say so. They seem to have a conflict in this matter of interest. And I would say they were supposed to actually declare their interest. Because you found that when you seem to speak or raise a point that does not suggest that McBride should not be renewed, you are perceived as if you are saying his contract must be renewed regardless, which is not the case here. And I would appeal that members use their minds to influence their hearts, because we are dealing with issues here. You see, I like what Honorable Imam Sheikh has said here, to say there are instances where a person is alleged to have done something and he is suspended. And there are also cases where a person is alleged to have done something and the person is not suspended. I think the suspension of a person actually is determined by the fact that how much his presence in that environment will interfere with the investigation. And from where we sit as South Africans,
no one is guilty until he's proven guilty. This can be damning allegations. That does not mean anything much. They remain as such up until it's proven. So I would like to say, if we seem to take a line that may be perceived as favorable to Mark Bright, that's our view, and we should do that. But we'll come to a point where we discuss. And there are some issues that members must raise in their conclusive remarks when we're about to decide whether or not to say, as far as I'm concerned, based on these issues, then they will articulate those issues. But we have a right to actually be open to discuss whatever that we want to in a manner that we feel is proper. And that's all I can say, Mr. Chairperson. But the issue of an allegation on this part of the minister, and then Mark Wright has actually given his side of the story. And if there is a gap there, like on the matter that I raised specifically to say, the minister is saying these are the allegations, Mark Wright says these were withdrawn, where do we stand as a committee? We need something that will bridge that gap. And that is like the evidence to the effect that they were withdrawn. If not, then they strengthen the case to say he lied to the committee post. That's what he said here. But we can't reach those conclusions if there are missing links in between.
I think there's general agreement on Lazy that, I mean, we must look at all the material that's before us. That's why we've got these topics. We can't leave things out that's in the papers now. That's why we decided let's list all those relevant issues. Of course, there will be different views, different interpretations, and members will put maybe issues that as they are. But when we come to the deliberations in terms of our conclusions, of course, then members will deal with it differently. But, I mean, we can't impose a certain style on members. They're free to put whatever they want to put. Yes, Honourable Ramadlakane.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Tellis, let's apologize if we came out quite as if we are stifling that kind of mind. I think the discussion here, the intention we are grappling with the complex issues, we have different minds on the matter, let's discuss it openly. So if we have somehow came out in that way, I really want to apologize that that was not intention. Second point, Chair, I like also with respect to all other colleagues, we all agree that there are allegations that are before the public protector for investigation. They will then unfold. So it's there, we agree. But I just want to say for the record, Chair, and if need be, we can do that. Yesterday, when we discussed this matter, I had quoted letters. I used the letter from Public Service DEPSA that explained how progression, how do you arrive at a progression payment. I used that letter for the record that it seems to me that in the case of iPad, that some step has been missed, that those steps suggested did not happen. The second information, which is in the file, I use the letter signed by the Minister of Public Service Administration, Minister Rozo, and I said it was signed on the 5th of 6th, 2018, which said in the things that is not the failure of not signing the performance agreement and we're giving a waiver for this particular year for this to be undertaken, a waiver for this particular year to be taken and this year to be taken, covering the period of 5 years. I did say, and it appears so in the letter from Public Service, as well as the schedule that suggest the progression payment has been effected suggest that if in the event that these things has happened in the iPad without having followed the suggestion or the strong directive from the Minister of Public Service to the Minister of Police, take it. It's given that it was to minister to minister, and I'm in this case I don't know whether the minister got it, but that was directive that suggested that you can only determine this payment once you've done the assessment, and that assessment is fine. For the record again, I did say what appears on the document that I have received, members did not contradict this, it appears that they are not signed. They were not signed, they were submitted, but they were not signed. Others is written retrospective, so they are not signed, they have not been evaluation. There has not been a meeting that evaluate the performance that is claimed. I get 100, I mark myself as 100, and then that must be moderated in the discussion between the executing authority and the one who claims to have. And that discussion we're going to get to later, because that, yesterday there was this issue of 100% that there was 100% that the iPad achieved, which we will get to at some point. So all I'm saying at this stage, Chair, and now why I'm raising all of this? I'm raising all of this to make you aware that some of the issue raised in the long letter or in the letter from the public protector contain some of the very issues that we have already raised, that including of self-payment. They are now going to be investigated again once the record has been shown on the second. Basically, they are going to be taken further than that. But the record that we have shows clearly that there's a problem, that these things did not happen. So I just don't want us to lose that, because I think this is a very important point for me, because it goes at the heart of what we're asked to do, applying our mind to the performance, agreeing or not agreeing to renewal, which is a point that is going to follow. So. I think if these issues are irritating, I'm sorry, I must apologize if they're irritating, but these are the facts, which all of us have the same fact. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tony. Honourable Kalibanat, yes, you're welcome.
I just wanted to draw the committee's attention to page 12 of the McBride letter. And certainly this could be corroborated in the court papers, where the magistrate basically says Mr. Inkabinda lied under oath and said he was an unreliable witness. This is the Mr. Inkabinda who, for reasons unknown, has come up with the allegations that the Public Service Commission says are totally unsubstantiated and which have now been reworked and sent to the public protector. So please consider that. That's what the magistrate said, because that is determined by a court of law.
Now, maybe just on that point, I think I would let you refer to it. We just got SMS confirmation from Mr. Nakabina that there is a letter on its way to the committee. So we'll await the letter. As soon as it arrives, we'll deal with it. Right. Right. Members, we dealt now with this topic. Right. Can we move on? Right. I just want to get an indication because it's been now quite some time, the copies of the AG notes, is that now available? What? Can we really call on the Secretariat to make sure that we get those copies, because we want to deal with that item. It's a quite important item, the AG reports and the AG notes, so I don't know. No, we received the notes this morning after a long tussle with it. They've released it.
So
we might just need copies, you know, for discussion. So let's then move on to the issue of fit and proper person, also issue raised by the Minister and also issue raised by Mr. McBride in his papers. Right. Honourable Markey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think why don't we deal with some other issues, because this is the final deliberation.
Let's park fit and proper person for later today or tomorrow. Let's then deal with the issue of independence of IPET. That's been an issue that's been, I think, with us since we started that process. There's been various input on that issue. On the one hand, you know, different views on it, and let's give members opportunity to ventilate and put their views across the issue of independence of IPET. 7 minutes. Thank you, members. Honourable Markey and then Honourable Kolobana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would need to be given direction here. What is this item actually saying? Is it what are we going to talk about? Because surely it is in the IPET Act. It is already in the decision of the Constitutional Court. So I get a bit confused to what are we actually looking at when we deal with this item. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, I don't want to end the discussion, but remember in all the papers, that issue has been made forward. It's also in the relevant court cases, but it's part of the question is that the independence of IPET would be in danger if the contract is not renewed. That point is kind of made in the papers of the ED. He's arguing also with under political considerations that the contract must be extended due to the situation. So the issue of independence broadly is coming up, so we must put that to the members. Members must discuss it. We've got the duty to do it. But I mean, of course, it's your own interpretation. It is in the various documents. Honourable Butlezi and then Honourable Kola Barnard and Honourable Ramatlakani 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There is nothing much that I want to comment on this matter, except to say it is true that Macbeth actually submitted that if the head is changed now, so that might cause some kind of commotion. And he made a specific reference to say he thinks that the minister may influence the process to appoint someone who is, I'm not quoting him direct, but who is kind of a friend to him, so who will actually listen to him, and then all these matters that he has started to investigate will be thrown out of the process. So that is what his fear in the main. So I think the committee then will just, it's a matter of do we buy on what he says, because that does not mean that we should be much influenced by his view. I mean, maybe because of his relationship with the minister and what he may know more than us as the committee members. But I think we neutral, we won't be influenced by anything else except to do our work properly.
Honourable Pelezi, then Honourable Kola Barnard, then it is Honourable Ramatlakane, Honourable Molabatsi, Honourable Markey.
Yeah, the independence of the IPED, obviously this follows the case after case after case of which in court which dealt with the independence of the Hawks. So it's a certainly linked matter, and I see we have the papers from the Hawks and the increased independence of that entity in the PAC. Just to quote the ANC chief whip, who said the amendments intended to restrict political influence, and that I think was according to the court directive, and it's exactly what we did, although very quickly and hastily, and there's quite possibly a great deal more that can be done. But to also quote the ANC's Scopus study group, it's very pleased, and this was 6 months ago, it was very pleased with the progress being made by IPED into the cases and the charges of corruption and defeating the ends of justice in terms of Lieutenant General Komotso Paklane, and they went on to sing the praises of the IPED. So presumably something drastic has happened between 6 months ago and today, because those songs are no longer being sung in any corridor I've heard. So independence does mean that there cannot be pressure brought to bear, that when a Robert McBride says in a presentation to this committee that one of their investigations stopped 45 million rand going to the ANC elective congress, it can't be used against him for political reasons. It is merely him doing what he's being paid to do. And I believe it probably is being used against him, and it probably is what is hitting the hardest. So that is exactly what we have to...
Chairperson, I talked about this point of order yesterday on this very point.
I'm quoting directly out of that paper.
Because if we start talking about the ANC here, and if somebody is saying the decision that we are going to take is because of that, that is irrelevant. That is actually throwing mud at... I mean, we keep on trying to be very civil and ask that we deal with facts here. Because if we start throwing mud, which we also are sort of capable, then there's going to be trouble about the whole process. Can't we just avoid that and deal with facts? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Abadzi, if you can assist, I think the whip has spoken. Honourable Kalabana, if you please can
thank you.
Avoid unnecessary political...
He's certainly not my whip, to point that out, but I'm quoting directly from the papers before this committee. I'm not fabricating anything, giving a personal opinion. I'm quoting from the papers. This is claimed by Robert McBride in that, and it's part of one massive investigation that they undertook. So I'm not saying anyone in this room would have benefited or any particular camp in the ANC would have benefited. I didn't say any of that. I just said this is what's here, and this could be what's behind the massive swing from the ANC opinion 6 months ago to the ANC opinion today. And it's my right to have that opinion. Apparently not.
We're still going to deliberate on the final thing. Is the Honorable Kola Barnard saying that we have taken a decision here? We haven't taken a decision. In the deliberations, we are going to debate there, and that's where the decision can be taken. We are only dealing with what we have before us. What swing is she talking about? I mean, she can't push us this far. I think she's crossing the line now. Because we can even do that ourselves. We'll look who is speaking.
Yeah.
We can go up to that extent. Can't we just avoid that?
Right, members, we really want to ask that we keep the debate. We do not unnecessarily, lose our focus. Thank you. You can go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, as I was saying, if we look at 23.4, on page 14. That's exactly what I was referring to. I'm referring exactly to the papers before us today in relation to the reports. And I did not write the numerous media reports yesterday which said, well, I'm sure you all read them. You know exactly what the headlines were yesterday. I didn't fabricate them. I didn't write them. The people covering this event that we're participating in did. So don't put it on me. I have tried to follow the rules as far as I could possibly do so. The independence of the IPID, I think, can be seen in a similar way to the independence of the Scorpions. At the time when it was shut down, it was seen to be stinging people who were in a particular area who did not want to be stung, and so they shut it down. That was made very clear at the time. And I think we have to be enormously careful as people in the position that we're in to take decisions where we weaken structures such as the IPID, or we weaken structures, any oversight structures, because it's our job to, in fact, strengthen those structures to the nth degree. That's our job. It's what we're paid to do. So I think we have to be very careful. I'm watching. I'm listening. I'm watching the things thrown around that are patently untrue. But it's to reach a specific predetermined goal. I'm quite satisfied in my own mind.
Chair, I want to object to that, Chair.
You can object.
I don't think you can allow the member to make statements like that, that is a predetermined objective. We are expressing our opinion based on the evidence and the facts before us. And we may agree to disagree, but I think it's totally disrespectful to members that this honourable member, if she's honourable, makes a statement to that nature that we've got a predetermined objective here. We have a purpose here. Must we do what she wants us to do and serve her purpose? It's clearly not the case. We are taking this, we are considering the facts before us, and we are commenting accordingly. So I think we should be given that opportunity to do that appropriately. Thank you.
Now, members, let's leave the personal remarks and also to attribute certain preconceived ideas to members. And let's use the normal way we deal in the Portfolio Committee and Police. Let's deal with the issues. Let's debate it. We can differ, you know, on it, but the principle, but let's not, attribute, certain characteristics to members. Let's try and deal with that. Honourable, thank you, Honourable Kalibana. Let's go to Honourable Ramatlakane.
No, Chair, thank you very much on this topic. I'm tempted to respond in this session in one liner. See, the ANC is not the same as the DA. The DA chased Patricia de Lille out of the city of Cape Town because she was refusing to concede to this resalination plan, which was a promised money for the DA. They have chased Patricia out of the DA because she refused to sign that with a possible kickback to the DA. So we're not like that. They're speaking about the things they know. Let me proceed with the point about the independent. And if that's Patricia's no longer there, that's the first people can see and can go and ask her. Now, the independent issue about the iPad, I want to make this point that the independence of iPad does not depend on my pride. It's not an individual issue. She's not an organization. iPad is a creature of statute. It operates based on the law. The law precise how it functions. He is just the one person there as a head. I find it absurd that the argument that he makes in this document that if he goes there and then his contract is not extended, there's a direct threat for the independence of the iPad. The issue about iPad being a vote on its own was not from the creation of MedBright. The iPad having a vote on itself has been there before he joined the iPad. So I find it a stretching that all of this thing that is there, it is my creation. In which sense is the creation of that? So I want to put that aside. Two, Chair. The iPad and the operation, including the cases that are investigated by iPad, it is not a responsibility of one individual to make sure that those cases are prosecuted. In fact, the Act, in terms of Section 7 in responsibility of the Act, goes into detail to explain what happened in the event that there's a case, criminal case that has been investigated, that case is submitted to the National Prosecuting Authority, and the National Prosecuting Authority then makes that decision the four, subsection 4, 5, 6, it explained in detail. So it is unheard of, it's fallacy to say in the paper that this solely, this thing is me. If I'm gone, this act is gone, everything is gone. They're going to shut down the doors of the iPad. So it's no such a thing. The last point, Chair, is this. The issue that McBride raises about in that is spoken to by Honorable Colavanat. The last time we presented to the committee, we said, fine, arrest people if they have done that. If the people have committed crime and corruption, put charges to them. Do something that has to happen. The sense I'm having is just a political issue that is keeping raised, because up to as we sit here, I don't know who has already been charged for this. In fact, at that point it was mentioned that there was a grabber, or they called something called the money was going to buy a grabber. I responded to him, it's absurd for anybody to come here and tell us, at least we know a little bit more what is this thing around. How can the grapper again go and work in the ANC conference? You don't need a grapper for voting in the ANC conference. This is what McBride said at the time. And I think that issue for us was put to rest in this case. So even in this case, this document, that is a red herring. Simply a red herring. And flag it is for the public media, for media to write about it. Arrest, put the case to people who have done that, because everybody must fight this corruption, root it out. Not just talk about it and make it, use it as something for a extension, to try and motivate for extension. It's a clutching straws here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Arun Bailey, and any other members on this topic? You can go. Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I'm not going to respond to comments regarding events in the city of Cape Town and the governing party there, because I want to respect the chairperson's directive concerning keeping the issues the issue, and I want to respect the integrity of this process. The committee not being the appropriate platform for party political mudslinging, and in so doing help to aid and contribute to a behavioral standard, as the chairperson said, to douse the flames. Fortunately, I'm far less prone to emotional impulsiveness, so I think we're going to try to get things back on track. On this issue of the independence of the IPID, I think there's kind of two things, there's two sides to this. The minister claims that the renewal of the contract for Mr. McBride would be a threat to the independence of IPID, as well as the public perception of the IPID's independence. And his premise for that is that the allegations of misconduct against Mr. McBride are basically the reason for that. And Mr. McBride makes the exact same claim that the non-renewal of his contracts would also threaten the independence of the IPID, as well as be a blow for the public's perceptions of the IPID's independence. And the reason he advances there is that the politically sensitive nature of some of the investigations mean that there would be invested agendas to use a break in continuity of leadership to then try and retard those or kind of cut them at the knees. Two claims making the same but contradictory arguments. I would submit, Chair, that there is more substance to the arguments by Mr. McBride, not because it's about him, not because he is the sole bulwark for the independence of the IFIT. Any other fit for purpose person in that position who had the integrity and the competence and was compliant with the mandates for the IFIT would do the same. But contextually, structurally, given the risks that the IFIT is systemically prone to, because of the kind of work they do, because of the kind of individuals they go after in terms of high-level systemic corruption investigations, that's the risk. It's a systemic risk, not a McBride-centric risk. And so a disruption in leadership in that sense is what poses the risk. And that's why Chairperson at the start yesterday I said that is what makes this process, this committee's scorpion's moment, because of the kind of issues it impacts on, capacity to investigate high level corruption, and will have an echo that reverberates for a number of years going forward. If the process was, or if the timeline forecast going forward was less open-ended and less certain, one's fears could have been far more alleviated. But that systemic risk is why I would argue to lean towards the arguments in Mr. McBride's submission. Whether or not he carries on, the manner in which that transition is handled, until that question is answered, we have to deduce, or we can deduce, and it's a cogent argument, that there is a systemic risk posed to the independence of IPED with a break in leadership when there isn't a clear way forward as to how that transition would happen. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Let's go to the other colleagues in terms of the issue of independence of IPED. Any other member? Yes, Honourable Member Sheikh, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I fail to understand, Chair, submission by the ED in this case that the independence of IPED will be affected, in particular in terms of investigations, if his contract is not renewed. I say this, Chair, because number one, it is not the head that conducts all these investigations. He's supposed to manage them. Number two, the head had applied for other jobs. Number three, had he received any of these jobs, he would then have to start on the 1st of April. If he started on the 1st of April, then it's clear his concern is not the independence of IPED and the successful investigation of cases before it. What actually happened, Chair, is this, that my understanding that he failed to secure both those positions, and when he failed to secure both those positions, he now wants to hang on to this particular position of the head of the IPED. Now, Chair, what is clear is this, that even in his letters months ago, the head as good as conceded that he's not going to be getting this position. He even went on to make suggestions that it must be advertised. Now, 5 months ago, if you decided like you're saying now it's going to hamper the investigation, why did you not tell the minister then? Why did you tell the minister then you need to advertise it and interview people and follow the process? Because if it's going to be affected now with him not being there, it would have been affected 5 months or 6 months ago. But for me, it was all about the ED securing a job for himself, hoping to secure one of those two, crime intelligence, and I think it's DPCI, which was starting on the 1st. He failed to be shortlisted, or he never got the position. He said, let me hang on to this one here. That is basically what is happening here. So I can't see the independence of IPED being affected, because I said this earlier, Chair, that even 5 years from today, and let's assume that this contract is renewed. 5 years from now, there's still going to be a lot of investigations going to continue even at that stage, and there'll be new investigations. And then the IPED Act is very clear. Maximum of 2 terms. So what happens after that? Life must go on. Is he going to argue that no, you must go change the Act? No. The Act provides for a 2-term, but the Act does not demand that you must give a 2-term. The Act helps us if we want to renew it. In this case, the Act is not telling us, it's not prescriptive that you have to give the 2-term. It's a guide. But there's a contract which is prescriptive which says 1 term. And that does not mean that you can't renew that contract. You can if we so desire, and the evidence before us warrants that. So I'm not satisfied that the submission by the ED on IPED convinces us that the independence of this structure is going to be affected if his contract is not renewed. And let us also not forget the circumstances, the current working situation in IPED. The power, the investigations, Chair, that is continuing now with the public protector. I mean, can you imagine, I'm the head, but there are serious allegations and investigations. Already, my understanding is that certain witnesses are getting threatening phone calls and things. So tell me that if you are at the top, calling the shots to the extent where you can fire somebody and remove them and do what you want to do, and you are in control of that unit where the evidence is going to have to come from, what are the chances that you're not going to interfere with that process? So my understanding is, Chair, that the independence of IPED is going to be severely affected by the renewal of this contract. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Markey.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was just trying to digest this in my gray matter. Or if somebody is saying if he's removed, then hell is going to break loose in there. I wonder what that means, and I don't know how I must approach that. It means no one besides him can keep IPED in the right direction. And I think that is rather going too far. It means there's some personality cult in there, that without me, things won't go right. There will be corruption all over. That is what it means. And I was thinking, or if well, in my culture, you never say that. It will be as if you are wishing somebody bad. But if he dies, then we are going to have corruption all over. That is what it means. And my understanding is that in that institution, there are specific people who had some sort of divisions, I don't know what they called them. There would specifically be a chief director responsible for what investigations there would be. So that's what I'm saying. It gives me a problem to understand what does that mean. South Africa, the subs is rotten. I'm the only person who can deal with the rot in there. I think we don't even need to look at this thing, especially this one, because we can't deal with that. That is the way a person thinks, and I think he's got the right to think that way. But it borders on an insult on professional people that we have in this country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Other members on the issue of the independence? Everybody covered by that. We might come back to that later tonight. Then we move on to the current political context. Members will remember in the papers, Mr. McBride indicates that the decision by the minister might be mainly be due to political considerations. There was also an indication that from Honorable Mbele yesterday that he wants to flag this. So we'll, yes, Honorable Marker.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think that is what we were asked to deal with in here. I think we must just strike that one out. Political, whatever, I don't think it's our duty to deal with political issues in here. We have got facts. Yeah. Political issues, it depends on what political party you belong to. And that can be done in rally somewhere. I don't think it is our duty to be dealing with political matters, because we definitely wouldn't agree. That's why we belong to different political parties. I would suggest we strike it off. Thank you, Chairperson.
Right, let's give opportunity to members if they want to. We have got your proposal, but let's give if there's other members who wants to come in. Yes, Honorable Mabija, Honorable Muda, Honorable Bele, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have nothing to say except that I agree with the whip of this committee said. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm supporting Honorable Maki.
Thank you, Honorable Bele, and then we'll come to Honorable Malabasi.
Chair, if I can I do this as a response, not as using 7 minutes? Yeah, okay. I think it might be useful not to get too hung up on the particular label political context. For me, my interest is in engaging and commenting on the content in the ED's submission under that heading, because it's speaking about the current period in which revelations around high-level corruption and state capture and so on have been coming to the fore and are being processed and ventilated through various platforms, but the one that he references is the Zondo Commission. That's the content I want to engage with. It's not political in the sense of party politics or that sort of thing. So I'm happy for it to be relabeled. It's about the contents, and therefore I put place in that and how then a renewal issue flows from that.
Right. In the papers, I think Honorable Mbele address it, and then we give other members an opportunity, whether they agree or not. You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. So in terms of that, the points that the ED makes over pages 19 and 20 of his submission, I'm not going to, well, I suppose I want to note that the ED makes something of the minister in particular, and he makes claims about political considerations on his part. it's a claim that one can't substantiate. So I don't want to engage too much on that, and I'm sure it'll lead to a whole bun fight in the committee if we start to unpack that. But it is very much the case that this country is in a period and a context where we're having to come to grips with many things that have happened and gone wrong in the public sector. You know, close your eyes and throw a dart at any SOE or agency in the criminal justice system. You're going to hit something that's been corrupted, captured, compromised, and almost collapsed, possibly under cronyism. That's the serious context we're dealing with. And the IPED, through the investigations that they've been doing into the SAPs, have uncovered what they claim is prima facie evidence leading to allegations and charges. And that creates a, as I said earlier, it's about the systemic risk at which these processes and this, call it, cleansing work is placed in. If leadership transition issues such as this of the ED's contracts are not handled with the utmost care. And I'm going to also reference an argument I made yesterday morning when we were still dealing with the oral hearings issue. The IPED is not a standard run-of-the-mill department public sector entity. As confirmed through the courts, it requires specific, careful, and customized handling, which is why this committee had to drive that amendment process. And that, in conjunction with the context, as I've outlined it, means that this has bearing on how we handle the renewal issue. Again, it's not solely, at least specifically, about whether Mr. McBride is the top-notch candidate in this moment. That we could have known if the minister had acted late last year, advertised, and we start a selection process, so that when that appointment process would have come before the committee to either nominate or to either confirm or reject, we could have had information to make that assessment. Right now, we can only ruminate on and try to reach a determination solely about Mr. McBride, not about what's the spread of talent out there that could do the job. But yeah, that being the case, there are greater systemic risks to a break and discontinuity in leadership. Until the allegations, as per the Public Protector preliminary investigation dossier, have been clarified, confirmed, or otherwise, we don't have compelling substantive grounds for a deal breaker egregious enough to say definitely do not renew. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Other members on this topic? It really relates to also issues we have discussed earlier, but members are welcome. Honorable Ramlakhani, 7 minutes.
No, Chair, I think the for me, the issue about the corruption where it exists, the president has made a call on this, and it's our responsibility, all of us, to deal with the corruption wherever it raises its ugly head. It's that's the position that of the organization I come from. That's the position of the government that is leading this country, That is why you have those commissions, including the Zondo Commission, that they should deal with this kind of. So that's a statement. But I just want to unmask this so-called, on page 19, the current political context. Because for me, I want to unmask it, because for me it looks like a naked footwork of someone who wants a sympathy and want to use everything that is in the public domain to drive an agenda for certain things. It is presented for nothing else, but as another motivation why I should remain. This is what it is. It's presented how why I should remain as the MEC brand, that this would not happen if it doesn't happen. But this is done in the motivation for what? For what? For renewal of a contract. That persuade, this is argument that want to persuade everybody in this country are not competent to deal with the issue of corruption and crime. Everybody in this country only depend on the sole person in his name of ED of iPad that can fight corruption. Earlier on I referred you to the Section 7 of the iPad Act, that there's not a sole individual responsibility to deal with the corruption, whether it's corruption, whether investigate. This is going to have to be a case that is presented for prosecution. Again, I find it, again, a footwork here. I think we agreed earlier on that allegations that are made is allegations, that they must be proven. It's correct that the head of iPad has gone to, he's going to go to the commission, Zondo Commission, to go and explain the all the corruption. But I want to add, his job is not only to go to the commission. His job is to take the docket that he has on an individual that has committed misdemeanors and present those dockets to the public prosecutor for action in terms of this act. So playing to the gallery does not resolve the problem. In this case, I find it that it's stretching. It's a bit stretching, and maybe it's useful to leave it as that, that it's really just stretching, but masking the real reason under this fear of everything is going to fall apart if I'm not there. This is an institution. It's not set up by individual. The individual inherits that institution having set up. All what he does, he's there to be able to drive that institution for it. And there are a number of people there. Let me tell you this. The investigations in iPad is not the responsibility of the head. There's a chief director responsible to that, that does all the investigation. Not him. He gets a report like, investigating the police is not the responsibility of the commissioner. It's the people who are there allocated to do the investigation that are doing this thing. So all those things, this whole footwork that is here, I want to say that it's not persuasive enough for me in this political context, except to say it's masked as this, but the intention is for motivating for give me the job because here is the strong man that can break down the Table Mountain and I can do it. So it's not persuasive enough for me. It doesn't cut the ice.
Thank you. Members, we go, we're going towards 1 o'clock. So I think Imam Sheikh, you're going to is there anyone else on this topic? Because what I will propose is that we break after the last presenter. And we there will be lunch, pardon? Yes, lunch is coming. And that we reconvene 2:15 in G26. that we give time for members just to sign into the NA, you know, that they around. And if there's any votes during the course of the afternoon, they can just say we're in G26. Thank you. Let's go to Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Thank you, Chair. Just to advise you that I've got a couple of debates, so I'll be in and out.
Yeah.
Chair, one cannot deny that the situation in the country at the moment is a matter for concern. And I think the Zondo Commission is doing a great deal in unearthing or uncovering some of the weaknesses, the corruption, the challenges we face. So I think it's a good exercise in any event, provided we do something about it and ensure there's consequence management. Now, coming back to that and the relevance of the ED in this particular instance, what I'm beginning to get an impression the ED is saying, I am the only credible human being that can make sure that whoever is corrupt is going to go to jail. I'm the only credible. But he didn't think he was the only credible person 6 months ago when he was going to leave the job and go elsewhere. No, he didn't. Now, strange enough, he is the only credible person. Now, let's talk about the credibility. To date, Chair, the media has been abuzz with all the allegations and statements by the ED. This one is corrupt, that one is this, that one is that. He's never been able to prove any of them. Some may argue that he wasn't there for the full five-year term, but he was there for a great percentage of the time. I'll go one step further. The matters have gone to court and were withdrawn with lack of or no evidence. So the question that arises is, like one of my colleagues says here, explain to the gallery, to the media. Because in actual fact, none of those matters would have been withdrawn if you had the evidence and if you knew what you were doing. Or you have serious prima facie evidence against all these people. Nothing. So what guarantees are you still going to give us? Nothing. But on the contrary, if you look at all the allegations against him together with all his statements in the media, the fact that he could not produce it, he could not convict anybody, it clearly means there is no substance in what the ED is saying. And like my colleagues have just alluded to the fact that he does not conduct the success of conviction or leading evidence in investigations of corruption and things does not end by him. It's not him that is really going to decide. He's not conducting those things. So, I don't know where he gets this God-given fact or belief that he is superhuman. He's going to be able to do it differently to everybody else. Now, again, Chair, there's nothing in terms of what the ED has provided you, whether you talk about the political climate, where he feels that it's going to change based on the fact that he never gave you anything, based on the fact that nobody were convicted, he couldn't prove anything, based on the fact that the public protector is still investigating him, there might still be allegations, but as I said, there's no smoke without fire, and there's a reasonable chance that there might be truth in something, there might not be, but it's not the only fact that we are considering in order to determine whether indeed the ED's contract must be extended or not. And that is why you've got a list of so many different aspects that we need to interrogate and then come to the best solution. In fact, it would be a great thing for the country and its people if he could have put pen to paper or put his money where his mouth is, by ensuring that some of these people that he alleges were corrupt and things were convicted. That would have done South Africa a great favor, to be honest with you. He didn't do that. Actually cost us money, because all these matters that went to court, he brought the organization into disrepute and it cost us a lot of taxpayers money. So, Chair, the political situation in the country is not going to interfere with the process. He has the right, even if he's not employed as a citizen, to continue, lay his charges with the public protector. If he feels there is evidence here, he can go to Zondo Commission, he can request that he wants to go and lead evidence. He has some role to play, and nobody's going to stop him. Nobody. So it is my submission, Chair, that it's, again, his submission is really of no substance. Not really valuable to the extent that it might satisfy particularly myself that he has a role to play as superhero in this committee. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you, members. We dealt with this matter. We will then reconvene 2:15 in G26 at the back of the NA, and we'll start then with the AG's report and notes. We will also deal with the issue in the two court cases in terms of the terms, in terms of Chapter 9, so similar institutions. And I see also the letter from Mr. Nakabinda has arrived, so we'll look at that. And we will also ask the Secretariat, maybe during lunchtime, just to again contact SSA and the Office of the ED in terms of their feedback, in terms of the letters. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned until 2:15. Thanks.